I have a feeling, and we bring Jim Hawthorne in here in a second, I have a feeling that we are going to see a really strange game in Neyland Stadium Saturday. This has been a really odd, sort of absurd, ridiculous series. It really has been. And I have a feeling that we are going to see a weird game Saturday night. Let's bring Jim Hawthorne in. As I was telling you, this guy here has taken me from a boy to a man on 870 in the LSU radio network. But listening to him on the 38 states and Canada, Big Stick, Clear Channel out of New Orleans, late at night, all these years on Saturday night, it is an absolute classic. And he is a classic of Southern college football. Bow your head when you say the name Jim Hawthorne. Jim, how you doing?
Well, I don't even know how to follow that. That's awfully kind of you to say those words. I've just been very fortunate to have the opportunity to watch a lot of games out here.
Well, let me tell you something. When I hear you, you've got a classic signature voice in college football, and guys like you to mirror what this sport's all about, because you bring the passion, you bring the energy to the table. And, man, what an exciting team you have to watch this year.
Well, again, that's very kind of you. I appreciate it. And you're right. This is 29, I think, for me, doing football here. And very honestly, I think this may be, if not the best, one of the best football teams that I've seen here. And we've had some good ones. And I've been fortunate enough to, broadcast two national championship games. But this team is special. I became aware of that watching them, in the spring and in fall, and there's just an awful lot of talent on this team, and more than that, there's great depth at just about every position. On the offensive line, which is always a problem, you can never have enough people there, and on the defensive line and at running back, and now we've got two senior, very talented quarterbacks who both have starting experience, and So this is a special football team, and there's half the season yet to be played, and this is the SEC, and anything can happen, but I really have a feeling that there's something special about this team.
I was going to ask you that. These guys look, they look like there's a purpose to them, and obviously the Alabama game's, coming up, and that's going to be one of the great games, maybe regular season games in the history of this league. When you look at where both teams probably are going to be when the game is played. But let me ask you something about LSU. Are they right now, do you feel like they're at a higher level than they were when Saban was there? Because I'm looking at the two deep, and I'm just looking, and I'm talking to people that I respect. And we had a draft analyst on from down in your area, who tells us that he believes that there are 20 NFL football players on defense total, 20 guys that are going to. He says the depth is just unbelievable. Is that program at a higher level than it was under Saban?
Well, I think, as I said earlier, I think this is probably the most talent on a team that I've seen. Depth-wise, LSU, since Nick was here, and beginning about the year 2000 and up to this point, when he built this program up to where it should be and Les has kept it there, I really believe that this is the most talent that I've seen at just about every position. And the amazing thing about it is that it's not just one deep, or two deep in some cases. It goes three deep, and we've got four running backs that are as good as anybody in the league. And they're sophomores and freshmen, So, I don't know the exact number, and I couldn't pinpoint the number like this gentleman did, but I wouldn't argue with it because, again, let me just say this. Tennessee could beat LSU. There's no question about that. Because this is the SEC, and anything can happen. And I respect Derek Dooley. I've had a great relationship with him when he was here as an assistant, and then he brought a team back in here when he was the head coach at Louisiana Tech, and was very competitive in this stadium against LSU. So, he's going to have them ready to play. I can promise you that. And I know that the starting quarterback is down and not going to play, but Matt Sims is a veteran. He played in the game that you were talking about last year that we're all quickly trying to forget. So anything can happen, but this is a good football team, and I think it's deserving of the accolades that it's getting at this point in the season.
Last year's game, take me through the last part, like what you remember about it, the weirdness. When did you become aware? Did you think the game was over at one point?
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
I
didn't think that LSU didn't use their timeouts wisely. They didn't manage the clock very wisely and didn't play very well. Got out, you know, scored early, thought that it was going to be okay, and LSU was highly favored to win that game. But when it, you know, boiled down to that last minute or so, even though the Tigers finally were doing something offensively and had a drive going, I did not think that they were going to be able to get off a play. And the hero for LSU was T-Bob Hebert, who snapped the football. Even though he knew Jefferson didn't have a play and there hadn't been a play called, he knew that if he didn't put the ball in play, there's no way LSU could win, and so he snapped it anyhow. And the fact that he did snap it is what caught Tennessee with 13 players on the field and gave LSU an opportunity to run an untimed down and win the football game. So that was a crazy thing, and I hope I never see anything like that again on either side. I mean, that was the gamut of emotion on both sides of the field in a short period of time was gut-wrenching. I mean, Tennessee went from thinking they had won to losing, and LSU went from thinking they had lost to winning. And it wasn't a very pretty thing.
No, and I would imagine that's the type of game. I was talking before you came on it. One of the things I love about listening to games down your way is hearing those people talk after games. You know, and you on 870, they have a call-in show that lasts till about, I think about 9 o'clock the next morning sometimes. It seems like those. I don't know how they do that. They just go on all night, but yeah. People are constantly calling the passion. I'd imagine after a game like that, fans, folks around the program are probably like, geez, we won that game. Why does it feel like a loss? I'd imagine there's probably that sense after a game like that.
Well, I expect for some people there would be that. You know, I think for most Tiger fans, and I know for me, it was a great feeling, a sense of relief, you know, probably more than anything else, because, you know, that's just a game LSU should have won, with all due respect, and they didn't play well. And Tennessee, you know, had a chance to win it. It looked like they had it won, and both teams made a couple of critical mistakes right there at the end of the game, and LSU came away a winner. But let me, you know, let's set that game aside because that thing is over. I don't really like to think about it because it was an ugly game. I mean, I'm very glad for LSU that they won, but it's not one that anybody wants to think about very much. Tennessee has owned LSU. In this rivalry, this is the 32nd time that these two teams have played, and Tennessee has won 20 of them, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong about that, but I think that's the way it is. Now, LSU's won, I think, 3 in a row and 4 out of 5, but that, again, goes back to when Nick Saban got here in 2000 and started building the LSU program up to where it should be. So most of the LSU wins have been in recent years, and the Tigers have only won twice in the history of this series in Knoxville, just 2 times. So
wow.
Tennessee has dominated the series. It's just been recent that LSU's been able to win a few.
You know what else history tells us, Jim, in this series? History tells us that this game is going to be really weird in Neyland Stadium on Saturday. These games have been strange. The SEC Championship game in 2001, Matt Mauch comes in after Davey gets hurt. LSU looks like they're down and out. This Mauch guy comes in and is just an absolute world beater. Game down, the Hurricane Katrina game, which is played on a Monday night to begin with, against the most adverse and strange of circumstances with not one but a couple storms whipping through there. And who will ever forget everything that surrounded that game back in the day? But you had that whole deal with Rick Clawson coming off the bench and leading Tennessee back from the dead in that one. Last year's game is one of the weirdest football games you'll ever see. Jordan Jefferson starts the game off with that run. It looks like they're going to run roughshod all over Tennessee, which is what everyone was expecting. And then somehow it's a tight game. You know, this thing tomorrow, as you said earlier, this thing in a couple days in Neyland Stadium might be, I mean, if history holds the form, it might be a really strange, weird, close, odd football game.
Well, close is okay. Those other adjectives, I hope, don't apply. You know, I don't like weird, strange games. I like close, intense, hard-fought games. And very honestly, that's what most of them have been down through the years. There's been some, you know, the game that you were alluding to there here, the Katrina game, LSU's ahead 21-0 in that game at halftime, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Tennessee came back and won it, you know. And so it's the game itself, I mean, that was unusual for LSU at home to lose a 21-point lead. But those circumstances, I'm telling you, what was going on all around at that point was pretty awful. And that's not taking anything away from the fact that Tennessee won, but that was just a strange atmosphere. Now, that, you know, this Saturday, I think the atmosphere should be terrific. I mean, a classic showplace for Southern college football in Neyland Stadium there on the banks of the river. I don't know. I suspect the leaves are turning up there. It should be just truly spectacular. And I expect both of these teams to play as well as they can play. And at this point, if that happens, if both teams play as well as they can play, LSU will probably win the game because I think, you know, Derek is building the program, and he's going to get it to where everybody wants it up there. But right now, LSU is probably a better team coming in there. But I expect it to be competitive, and I'm really looking forward to being up there.
Jim Harvey here. How much do we expect to see Jordan Jefferson this week?
Whenever Coach Miles thinks the occasion arises that he can help win the football game, and I don't know how to put it any better than that. Jared Lee is the starting quarterback, and he's the quarterback in charge. But he will use Jefferson when he thinks the skill set that Jefferson has can help LSU win the football game. The very first game back against Kentucky, the first time he came back on the field this year, was fourth and goal at the 1 yard line, and we had run it three times with our bruising backs and couldn't get it in the end zone. And had it just about a half yard out, he brought in Jefferson and he snuck it into the end zone for a touch. And Jerry Lee probably couldn't have done that. But when he goes in there, you got to shift gears a little bit because he can run. The Tigers can run the option play. He's a rollout passer. It changes what the defense is thinking when he goes in there. So that's what Coach Miles is doing. There's no controversy here. Both quarterbacks, they like each other. They pull for each other. When Jefferson scored that touchdown, the very first person that ran out on the field to hug him and slap him on the back was Jared Lee. So they got each other's back, and they both understand that. And Jared Lee's a starter. If he has a bad series or two or three or whatever, Jefferson's going to come in and play. If it's a situation that LSU needs maybe to run the option play or put Russell Shepard back there with Jefferson and Lee in the backfield, and who knows what might happen then, that's what they'll do. So, and that's a big plus. It's not a negative. It's a big plus for LSU.
Hey, Jim, I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you have a great trip up. And, again, I really appreciate the great work that you do and just the wonderful voice you are for Southeastern Conference football. I mean, I could sit there and listen to you read the phone book, start in the letter A, and just work your way down.
Well, that's awfully kind of you. I'm blessed to be able to see the best football in the country in the SEC, and I'm really looking forward to coming up to Knoxville. So I hope you have a great weekend, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Jim. Good talking to you. Jim Hawthorne, I'll tell you what. That guy, if you've ever heard him do a game, is top notch.